Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 172, episode 1 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, February 16th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. When I wake up in the morning, when the sunlight hits my thighs, and my kids without warning stare dead ass in my eyes, then I pour my dew, and the world's all right with me. Just one Mountain Dew, and I know it's gonna be a long ass day. Mm. That is courtesy of the one, the only, Innocent. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Now, come and listen to my story about a man named Miles. I can crush an AK, any era, any style. On IG, I go live with videos of food to show superhuman podcasters a regular-ass dude. Woo. The homie, that is. Valley Gold, trending tea.
Oh, man, Kaka Shizzle! Give me the fucking Beverly Trillbillies vibrations with that AK. Thank you so much.
The voiceover at the end really did it for me.
That part always got me. Because that was like, you know, Homeboy and Boys to Men, where it's like, let the bass come through now. And he's like, oil, that is. And I was like, okay, I like that. That was a part for people in bands back in the day. It's like, who's got the deepest voice?
Yeah.
Because that's the bridge.
Who's got a voice that's like deeper than any human voice should be? All right. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Beza Dabu.
Hey. There he is.
I wish I had a parody lyrics to a song.
Hey, man.
Oh, come on, man. Come as you are.
Come as you are.
Yeah, there you go.
Lovely day.
As you are.
Lovely Day by Bill Withers, one of my favorite songs of all time. But there's an Alt-J cover. Do you guys know the band Alt-J?
Yeah. There's an Alt-J cover? Is it good?
There's an Alt-J cover. It's incredible. It's one of those covers. Yeah, it's one of those covers you listen to where you're like, Is this better?
But the lead
singer's
like, when I look at you.
It really
like,
is.
I feel like that's how he gets down.
It really is. It's like, vocally. It's like, a lovely day. But it's, but
it's like, bing, 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 bing.
It's like really panning bing, across like, yeah. your
And the they're on the background yeah. going, lovely day, lovely day, lovely day. But it's great. I would recommend everybody listen to the Alt-J cover of
Hell yeah.
Lovely Day.
Did you ever see that video that like blew up like probably 8 years ago?
The when, two
like,
college kids, right?
Yeah, yeah. When it was like yes. how to make every Alt-J song. And I'm like, it's so spot on, but I was still rocking so hard with Alt-J. I'm like, I don't even care, bro.
It was spot on. I actually formula. Loved their parody song. I yeah. loved their parody song. That video has like 40 million views and I think I'm 22 million of them.
Right, for sure.
But the dude's eating like, what are those called? Those like, they're like air cakes, like air rice crackers. They're little like round
pop yeah, chips. Yeah.
Yes, but they're like bigger. They're like discs.
Right, right.
Like a rice cake. Isn't that a rice
yeah.
cake?
Yeah, it's like a rice cake. He's eating a rice cake in rhythm to Alt-J.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's great. How have you been, man? What's new with you?
I've been great. 2021 is proving for me to be a lot better than 2020.
Good, yeah. good. Like to hear that.
But I've been good. I'm making some traction on a show that I'm developing, so that feels good to finally at least have some meetings. Who knows what's going to come of them, but that's right. good. And you know, I'm living Pet? With my cat still.
Cat?
Y'all.
Yeah, because yeah, I feel yeah. like that was we left you. Cat, the cat life.
Yeah,
living that life.
We were actually scheduled to record this pod on the 1 year anniversary of me getting my cat, and I was so excited to talk about that. Then something came up where I had to move our pod, and then the thing that came up got canceled the night before. So I ended up having nothing to do then.
Well, I mean, well, I would like to congratulate you and your cat on 1 year.
Yeah,
you know
one
what I mean?
Happy year.
Solid,
beautiful.
Solid.
Beauty.
She is
many
still
happy
cuter
returns.
Than ever. I still look at her and go, "Oh my god, you're the cutest cat in the world."
That's the benefit. That's the thing that pets do. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to, you know, cast your gaze upon something and then have a good feeling immediately. But sometimes also watch a dog or cat just like, mm-hmm. you know, when a pet does a thing where they just turn over and they're like, hi.
Oh,
like,
yes, yes.
I think it yeah. still get me every time. I'm like,
put their
yes.
paws up by their ears. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's doing this new thing where she, while I'm sleeping, she'll come up, she'll put her nose to my nose for a second.
What?
And then she'll basically lay down on her side the same direct facing the same direction as me, and then she'll slowly scoot back into my chest.
Oh, a little
so
spoon.
She'll,
wow.
Small
but,
spoon.
But it's the way she does it, right? She'll be like 2 feet away.
Like a whole
away,
method.
And then she'll right. like, and scoot back. All the way back into my chest. And I'm just like, come here. It's so cute. I talked to my like, do you guys have cat voices? Because mine's like a witch sort of.
Yeah, I was just gonna say you sound like the witch from like a children's TV show.
I'm always
like a fun witch.
Yeah.
I just have 3,000 names for my pets.
I see. Yeah. You don't go into a voice that it's almost like my body can't control it when I talk.
No, like it's weird. I'll end up talking like my uncle or grandfather, being like, "What you doing in there?" Like if the cat meows, like I like to fuck with it back. It's like meow, huh? Meow.
That's got to be your rap right. ad lib, huh?
Yeah, exactly. It's like then was a French Montana's hand, but I'm more huh, right. huh? Yeah, exactly.
Jack, do you have a cat?
I don't. No, I got. We had two dogs, and now we have two boys, two little boys. So they take up all.
Cast
our time.
A spell on the dogs.
Do you talk
yeah,
to your?
Yeah, we cast a spell.
Do you talk to your boys in a weird voice?
I don't think so. I don't know, Miles. You've heard me randomly.
Yeah, you're like, huh?
Me.
Dad, huh?
I'm telling you, whenever I talk yeah. to my cat, it just like I it's like I have no control over it. My body just goes, "Oh, you're so cute."
Yeah,
it just goes in this like high pitched witch. I don't.
It's
know
weird.
Why.
I do that with human children more. I find myself having an affect when I talk to like little babies.
Yeah, because you go, "Oh, you baby." Baby.
Yeah, yeah like, that's how I do that.
Speaking of 2021 versus 2020, there's that ad that still runs on Hulu. I think it's for Match.com, and like the premise is that Satan and 2020 are like the perfect match. And then there's like a bit where 2020 is like, I've met 2021. She's basic. Like, does that ad work anymore after the insurrection? Like, That is like basically assuming 2021 is going to be way better than 2020. And I was surprised that it was still running like as late as the end of last week.
It's just so, don't even, that's not an exercise we need to engage in at all, especially not in a commercial. Like that's for history. Those are for like thinking people to like look back on this awful time.
Also, pull the ad match.
Who would you rather fuck, this year or that year?
Also, to say that in February, right, is like saying we're going to win this game. Yeah.
Right.
The first 2 minutes of the first quarter. It's like, well, we just started. We're up three. Relax.
Right. Don't be Leon Lett with that football.
Yeah.
Just hold it up. You're not even in the end zone, fam. Because that's like, that would be the meme, right? Is that ad where it's Leon Lett holding the football up and Don Beebe is like 2021 coming behind you to fucking strip that shit.
All right. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, Bezos. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We got an update on those Buffalo cops who we saw push that old guy over. We've got a story of an Oath Keeper who was waiting on word from Trump to activate her. We're going to talk about another Bundy kind of wave that's coming at us, Amon Bundy, Amon Bundy. I don't know how to pronounce that. Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
Amon. We're going to talk about that Face-Off remake / sequel. We're going to talk about Gina Carano and her future. We're going to talk about pizza reheating techniques and the new box office king. The biggest box office hit in the history of movies just happened, and a lot of people might have missed it. So we'll talk about that. No. All of that, plenty more. But first, we like to ask our guest, Behzad, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
So I recently had to search why my nonstick, can you put a nonstick pan in the dishwasher?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you learn?
I learned nothing because the whole internet says positively. So look, I get these pans and they're only like nonstick for like a little bit. And then all of a sudden the fish is sticking to the pan, even if I put oil on it, and it makes me mad. And I'm like, why does the nonstick coating like not work so quickly? And I'm like, well, I do put it in the dishwasher. Someone was like, you can't do that. And then I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense because on the bottom, it's got a little dishwasher icon. So I think I can.
Yeah. So it all depends.
Well, no, not on high heat.
I mean, really.
Like how hot the dishwasher is and all that kind of crap.
Right.
And it's like, how am I supposed to know how hot my dishwasher is? I don't know how hot my dishwasher gets.
Yeah, and also, like, why do you have to make that judgment call on how attractive your dishwasher is? We all have different tastes. I don't know how hot your dishwasher is versus mine, but I know mine is a hot dishwasher. But I see, that's why I got, you know, this week, I will invite you, Bezos, to the world of stainless steel cookery. You know what I mean?
So you don't mess with that with the nonstick pans.
That's
all
for the kids, bro. It's for the kids. Man, you know, it's for the kids
too.
I mean, like, well, also, too, like, because quarantine has made me, like, really focus on cooking. And nonstick's great. It's super convenient. Like, I do have nonstick for, like, certain things. Like, if I want to melt, like, just a block of cheese onto a piece of bread and just let that thing fall right off the pan, nonstick is right there. Or do, like, little eggy in the window where you cut out, like, the middle of the piece of white bread and then you put cheese down and then you crack an egg in that hole and then that's called toad
can
in the hole or whatever.
Can you make an egg on a nonstick, on a not a nonstick pan?
Yeah, you just got to, I mean, you got to grease it up.
It's not, and keep it moving.
Yeah, you got to keep it moving.
Is it a lot of grease, though? You got to do a lot of spray, huh?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But I think the benefit, though, is when you cook, like, other proteins, like fish obviously is delicate, but like chicken or pork, whatever, you get that fond on the bottom of your pan, that crust. So, like, when you want to deglaze your pan, you got all that flavor to start making all this other shit with it. So that's why I like
Miles, you know, I've also been cooking a lot in the quarantine and focusing on it more, and I think you have just convinced me that I'm going to go buy a stainless steel pan.
Just look at and they're easy. They'll look like you burnt the shit out of it, but that's the great thing about stainless steel. You get fucking, you know, you get a stainless steel cleaning, like iron, you know, Brillo pad, buff the shit out of it, and it's good, baby.
But real talk, I like cooking on my cast iron skillet.
Yeah, oh, of course.
Now, you can't cook delicate things like fish on there, but I like cooking.
You don't want to do that.
But I like cooking like chicken on there. I like cooking steak on there.
Mm-hmm.
Veggies are good.
Yeah, because you can't match the heat of that skillet. No.
The nonstickness of a nonstick pan feels like one of those advances that I don't trust. Like, it's too, like, whatever chemical they're putting on that seems like too good to be true and too, like, unnatural, like that it shouldn't be possible.
I agree with that.
I try not to put my nonsticks though in the dishwasher though, just because they're easy to clean. So I don't want to put it through that, because a lot of time with a nonstick, I'll just put water in the pan and boil the water to just loosen everything that's on the pan still. And then just like kind of like softly clean it off to keep it going. Because when you get rough on that nonstick, you know, the clock can get ticking.
See, I'm so lazy. Sometimes if I got leftovers, I'll just put the top on the nonstick pan and then put the whole pan in the fridge.
Great.
But then what happens is when you eat, all that, the rest over is like caked on. And sometimes I'm like, dishwasher.
Right.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, loosening it with water, it's like the most underutilized way of cleaning your cook stuff, is just like put a little bit of water and boil it, and it will separate so much from the pan.
Are you trying to steal my underrated, which was loosening food off pans with water?
So if they're just spraying the pan with nonstick stuff and that comes off in the dishwasher, why don't they make the whole pan out of the nonstick stuff?
What are you doing?
Why is
the whole pan nonstick? It doesn't make sense.
Also,
just
if it comes
side.
Off in the heat of the dishwasher, why wouldn't it come off in the heat of the stove and go
in
your
food? Oh, it is,
food?
And you are ingesting it.
Yeah. On top of that, you know how many roommates and people I've dated, I've been like, yo, don't put the metal utensils in that nonstick?
Yeah.
Are you for real, fam? No, you can't do that shit. That's the thing most people don't realize. You cannot be using metal utensils in there and scraping that shit up. You're exposing a lot of the chemicals at that point. That's why I'm just going to keep a steel, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
use the wooden utensils,
scared.
Plastic. Please don't put metal utensils in your nonstick, please.
Now I'm scared about everything I do. And you're right. Now I'm just thinking about all that, whatever
we all
like,
grew up with
alien
that wild
chemical
pan.
They're putting on that pan. Like, it must be some alien chemical that can't possibly. Can you imagine the factory they make those pots in? They must smell so bad.
Right.
It smells like ethanol. Just come out, just coated. They're like sliding around. They can't stop when they're walking.
yes. I mean, you're going to love, as we, it's PTFE or polytetrafluoroethylene for your nonsticks, or Teflon. Basically, it's Teflon.
May I introduce you to my girl Pam? She does a good work in the kitchen. What is something you think is underrated, Beza?
All right, something that I think is underrated is we're staying in the kitchen, y'all.
Okay,
right. Crockpots.
Yeah.
Crockpots are underrated.
Let me guess.
Because
you don't like
it.
You don't like dishes. And what's better than one dish?
Listen, crockpots are underrated because I have tricked so many people in my life that have come over for dinner. I'm like, oh, you're coming over for dinner? I'll put a whole bunch of shit in a crockpot, and then before they come over for dinner, I'll separate everything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So then
it looks like
I've made everything. It looks like I've made everything separate.
Right.
Fam,
here's some sautéed vegetables.
Exactly. If you put a chicken in there with a little bit of like chicken broth or vegetable broth so it stays moist, the chicken is going to be so damn perfect.
Delicious, juicy, yeah.
And then you'd be like, yeah, the chicken's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then like,
could have gone either way.
But I'm a crock pot master. I know how to season the shit out of that crock pot meal.
Right.
And then it's like when to like open it up at the very end and throw a little sprinkle of cheese on it just so it gets a nice little melt.
Cheese
like,
on the chicken?
No, on the whole thing. On the whole concoction.
Wow.
And because you could put mashed potatoes in there and stuff like that too, a little potatoes
in
there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, so I do. Anyways, crock pots are underrated, and it's almost like people will be like, oh, well, you cheated. It's like, well, you don't even know I cheated, so did I cheat?
Right.
Also, did you cheat? Is it edible and you have been sustained by the nutrients contained within? Fuck out of
here.
Sounds
like you're taking the KFC bowl approach to the crock pot, too. mashed potatoes and cheese.
You know what?
And then
you're
put
not
a biscuit
wrong
on there.
You're not wrong.
The biscuit
because,
dough in there.
Yo, if you talk to Beza Dabu of 2005, 2006, your boy had that KFC bowl 3-4 times a week.
My blood type was KFC gravy.
To your ribs,
I'm not joking. 2005, 2006, my living room window looked into a KFC parking lot. And it was funny because me and my roommate and I, we would get high and look out that window because there was like this kind of person who would go to KFC that like didn't want to eat in the restaurant, but also didn't want to go to the, like wanted to order inside, but didn't want to like take it to go or drive through, and then would just house that shit in their car. And it was weird. This, for whatever, this KFC was like the home of the shamed parking lot feast. Cause I was like, oh, we got another one. We got another one. And we would see people do some wild shit. Like eat the coleslaw, like drink the coleslaw juice first and then start scooping out the slaw. You see some weird shit. You know, cause there's a little bit of, you know, liquid in the slaw.
Yeah.
Like some people beat, like they want to take the little slaw juice shooter.
Right. Wow.
Anyway, it's like being on safari.
It's weird because like there were actually two KFC bowls. There was the mashed potato bowl, and then there was the biscuit bowl, which was the same thing as the mashed potato bowl, but it had a biscuit in it. And yeah. I lived in Chicago. It was freezing cold. Those things were always piping hot. I would go into a KFC on my way to theater school. I would grab a KFC bowl and I would literally eat it outside, like as I was going to stay warm on my way to, like I was eating like my body has forgiven me for the way I treated it with food from 2000. Yeah. I mean, 2010.
The last 15 years has just been a journey of repentance and repair for the things I put my body through in the aughts.
What is something you think is overrated?
All right. I'm going to get mad about this. Gift cards.
Yes.
Mm. Gift cards are so overrated. If you just think about it, you're just giving me cash I can only spend at one place. Why not just Venmo me? You're literally giving me cash that I can only spend in one place. And if I don't buy something worthy of, or that's worth all of it, then I just got like $1.52 on a gift card.
Right.
I'm salty about it. Or the alternative happens where I buy something worth it and now I got to pay $11 in tax or something. Right. And I'm like, just, I don't understand why, like the only way gift cards should work should be like this, right? You give me a gift card for $50, but it costs you like $45.
Right.
There should be some, I know I understand someone would go and buy 150 gift cards and they would make all that extra money. I get it. If there's a way to solve that, I hope there is. But otherwise, gift cards are so overrated. I don't see, it's just money I can only spend one place. You're just limiting my money.
It's peak like corporate brainwashing. Because it's like, it's only a thing because we've allowed it to be a thing because it's like a social custom. It's like, oh, a gift card. Well, it has gift right there in the name. So it's a fine thing to give people, but it's just giving the corporation money. It's making a donation to corporations because I think they say like 50% of them don't get used. So just giving money to the company.
And it wasn't until like 20 some years ago when they actually had to be like, oh, right, a gift card is legal tender. Like, you can't be suddenly like, oh, it expired. Because a lot of places were pulling that shit in the 90s. I was like, but this Blockbuster Music is about to close. And they're like, it's expired, son.
I thought of this because, you know, when I was scheduling this thing, I was like, you know, I have a AMC gift card in my wallet. And it's been there the whole damn pandemic. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I'm not going back to an AMC for 14 years. What am I supposed to do with this?
That shit might not exist by that point.
Like an AMC gift card. Come on now.
But also, too, like it's cultural. Like in Asian culture, like you give people straight cash.
Yeah.
Like that's not a problem. That ain't no problem. Because you just know that's for the kids. That's for the kids.
That's and no they problem.
Know, yeah, that ain't no problem. That ain't no problem. That's what I took that. They're like, and I remember people would apologize, like, oh, you know, I know it's your birth, but all I could give you was this heavy ass envelope. And I'm like, that ain't no problem. That ain't no problem.
You don't have to give me you don't even have to give me a heavy ass envelope. You can cash at me. You can Venmo
whatever.
Me.
Yeah,
you can,
exactly.
You can,
but then,
you can Coinbase me.
To the point where I don't like giving a gift card feels like disrespect because it's essentially the same thing as getting a CVS Valentine's Day gift. You know what I mean? Like this last minute is fuck. Unless it's like something so specific and like interesting. If you hit me with that Best Buy thing, I'm like, what?
Yeah, just hit the Cash App. Hit the Cash App.
The one thing, like, if somebody knows that you want to spend the money on something, like, and you feel like you need that excuse to spend the money on something, that can be one way that it's like worth it. Like if, for instance, StockX should have gift cards because then people would, I feel like, I don't know. I've had multiple times when I was like, I would actually buy a StockX gift card for somebody so that they had to spend the money on something that was going to be super fun for them.
I get that. Like, my mother never does any, like, pampering stuff for herself.
Right. Yeah,
so, like, exactly. Like, if I got her, like, a spa day gift card, I get that because...
And ain't no immigrant mom going to waste some shit.
Right, exactly.
You know, and that's the only way you can get him to do it. Like, oh, you're gonna waste it? They're like, fuck, you got me.
My mom has so much. My mom has so much pride in being like, I've had these shoes for 14 years. There's right. three holes in them, and I still wear them. And I'm like, why are you proud of that? Go get new shoes.
You're like, why? The bottoms of your feet are fucked up. It's like, so funny. Please wear these new shoes.
It's so funny that like Indians make such a point of coming to this country and then living like they did back in India. Like, I still have holes in my shoes and I walk every day.
My mom's the same where she just talks shit about Americans. I'm like, motherfucker, you got a passport now. Like, she's like, you know, that's what American people do, like doing all this. And I'm like, you're okay, whatever. But you know, do you? I get it. We still got to hold on. We still got to keep our sense of identity.
My mom uses the word American when she means white. Cause it feels rude for her to say white people. Like she's really afraid of saying white people. So she'd be like, what, do you think I'm like these Americans? And I'm like, you mean white people. I think you mean white people when you say that. No. She used to say Justin's mom when she meant another white woman. She would be like, I'd be like,
that rules.
I'd be like,
all right, Justin's mom. That could be
a couple
Karen.
Of Justin's moms over here, huh?
she would be like, she would go, I'd be like, mom, I want to stay. We have this arcade that used to be like open until midnight and you could pay $20 and it could be like a club feel for a bunch of 15-year-olds. And so I'd be like, she'd be like, we're picking you up at 10. I'm like, mom, it starts at 9:30. I'm not getting picked up at 10. I need to at least get picked up at 12. Right. And then she'd be like, what do I look like, Justin's mom? And I'm like, who's Justin?
Oh, wait, there Justin. Wasn't even the homie named Justin?
No, it was just like, I look like Justin's mom. I think Justin was like the name in her head for like, obviously a white kids. Guy.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Ryan and Justin. Yeah.
What do I look like, Justin's mom?
I had Justin's mom.
Oh, I loved that. I really remember.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's so funny. Now I look back on it and I'm like, oh, it's so cute. I love her. She was amazing. And back then I was like, I hate you.
Right.
Justin. I think there was a point when I was like in fourth grade where I had like at least three Justins in my class. It was a real Ohio white kid name. For sure.
Where in Ohio, Jack?
Dayton.
Oh, Ohio. Dayton. My best friend's from Dayton, Ohio, Will Allen. I don't know if you know Will Allen, but probably
I haven't. I moved out of there when I was 12. I mean,
Dayton's only like, what, 4 million people?
Yeah, yeah. We probably ran cross paths, for sure.
Beth
really
Stelling,
worried about your memory, Jack. Hold on. Will Allen, it doesn't ring a bell?
I think Beth Stelling is from Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff, great culture, great people from Dayton, Ohio. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
And we're back, and we just have a handful of stories of white supremacy to run through that happened at the end of last week. We found out that those two Buffalo cops, whose headshots are really something. Did y'all see their headshots?
I did not know.
Not headshots, mug shots, but, you know, when it's cops.
Hey, you're in L.A., headshots. Man. You're in L.A. Yeah. What can you say? Oh, my God.
Yeah. But anyways, we saw the whole beginning to end interaction of these cops walking up to an old man, pushing him over, him cracking his head, blood coming out of his head, and them walking away. We saw that whole thing.
It's hard to watch that video, too.
It's really hard to watch that video. And it wasn't hard, though, for them to have the all charges dismissed against them.
So that's from the DA, basically?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the judge dismissed, or they dropped the charges, or the judge dismissed the charges. Either way, it's white supremacy protecting itself. Because even when you thought, you're like, well, surely they can't get away with that. They shoved over an elderly white man.
Right.
But shit, that shows you when you go toe to toe with police, it doesn't matter what the fuck, bro. It's like
My issue with that one, if I remember correctly, was that didn't all the police officers like walk out with the two because they got disciplined?
Yeah.
Buffalo was the one where the two got disciplined and then all the rest were like, well, then we quit if you're going to discipline us for, you know, hurting old men.
Assaulting citizens for. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that a grand jury did it. Okay.
Grand jury dismissed it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Voted to not charge the cops. Huh. Well, at least we got, you know, it's democracy. They voted. So, cool.
Yikes. I think it was our, I mean, we saw that whole city was getting ugly the second that shit went down. And I remember the first thing was like all the, I remember tweeting about it when like the news was talking about all the people that had come to support the two police officers. And it was just a bunch of off-duty fucking cops.
Yeah,
it wasn't the community.
A diverse community of white guys with jeans, with their shirts tucked into their jeans.
Wow,
and
right.
Buzz cuts. Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Moving forward, Oath Keeper. There was a leader of the Oath Keepers who the DOJ revealed in the run-up to January 6th tweeted, "I'm concerned this is an elaborate trap. Unless the POTUS himself activates us, it's not legit. The POTUS has the right to activate units, too. If Trump asks me to come, I will. Otherwise, I can't trust it." And then the day of, she was like, "We're in." So, you know, as that impeachment hearing is going on and he's about to be acquitted, it's just like straight up, you know, well, exactly what we thought it was.
Yeah.
Can you give
there's reports of like how the like senators had already like met with Trump's defense team or something too. There's some weird closed door meeting. I mean, but we don't need to know that to know they're not going to do the right thing.
Can you give me the 30-second or maybe the 10-second of what the Oath Keepers are? I don't even know what
Oath Keepers are basically retired military and police who talk like they're talking about the oath that they take to protect the country from enemies domestic and foreign, and saying that like it's basically a militia group of these retired military law enforcement.
But does protecting the country mean
overturning the election? Yes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay, cool,
for
cool,
them,
cool, cool, cool.
It's a fancy way to say the Constitution told me to do white supremacy with guns.
Right.
That's the whole sort of logic of it, because they're using this very constitutional lens to sort of justify their organization.
And then speaking of white supremacy with guns, Eamon Bundy of the Bundy Clan is basically creating a organization. That their mission statement is they will be able to organize 10 protesters within 10 minutes, 100 protesters in 100 minutes, 1,000 in 1,000 minutes. And they are, you know, just straight up like right wing libertarians with weapons. This is the dude whose family occupied that building in Oregon, the Mallor. Yeah, National Wildlife Refuge, and who they got one of their followers killed in a shootout with the FBI.
Because two guys were arrested for starting fires on federal land, and that was like the whole thing about like, well, then this is bullshit. And then Trump got him out of jail in 2018.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's been like the pattern with these guys. So the whole thing started because in the early 90s, Eamon Bundy's dad was grazing his cattle on federal land. You have to pay to do that. He was like, no, I don't have to pay because libertarian, and you know, their whole ideals are like, you know, a version of American pride that breaks down into the road the moment you take away like all the social safety nets that are making it possible for them to be the pampered assholes that they are. But that's kind of what they want. They want it to break down to the road so they can just start killing whoever they want. But so that's how it started. They had a showdown with the FBI, and the FBI kind of backed away because that's what the FBI does when it's up against white supremacy. And then this just kept growing to this, National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon. They kind of got away with it, except for like one group that basically opened fire on the FBI. And now it's just continuing. It's just like being allowed to continue.
So now, you didn't check them when they took over the facility. Now they've moved on to making fucking Uber for the Klan, where you just dial a racist and they'll pull up with that same energy from Parler.
They're calling it Neighborhood Watch on steroids, which is the KKK.
Right. Like,
just,
okay.
That's just, that's all it. That is. Yeah.
Sure. And right. So here's a microcosm. If you need another example of not checking this shit when you have the opportunity and how it develops and gets, you know, more aggressive. Yeah. There you go. Eamon Bundy.
Yeah.
But what's funny is like, you know, You can't get a thousand minutes for 1,000 people, because shit can go off on Twitter and people get right real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I wonder how this evolves into basically paid actors through like some kind of Koch brothers, like mega check, where there are people like on call for this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the fantastic version is like, they can be like, oh yeah, let me call backup or whatever. Like, cause that's what it is for these people.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, they've been pretty successful at getting people together. Like they're mostly based out of the North, Northwest, Midwest, and they've been able to find the people that they need to bring to to any situation that they deem it necessary, because this is a terrifyingly popular ideology. And mostly they're focused right now on anti-mask shit, which is, all right.
Come on, baby. That's the gateway fucking issue. Yeah. To then suddenly being like, let's fill this truck up with ammonia nitrate and do some shit.
Yeah, because they do have a very anti-police, anti-government bent to them. That, you know, on the one hand, you're like, well, it can't be all bad if they, you know, hate the police. Like they had a thing about like how the Back the Blue rallies were bullshit. But I feel like the fact that they're turning on the cops is a little scary, because if like the cops have a choice, you know who they're going to side with. Like they're going to side with these people quickly.
Yeah, I guess it. Yeah. Well, stay tuned. Yep. Because I mean, like, we have all these moments where as a country, or even people in their communities, or even in a, you know, political leadership role, we have to address this, you know, these sort of bubbling issues in an effective way, and not just sort of like, don't worry, they're like way, way disorganized right now. It's a joke right now. It's a joke right now, maybe.
Right.
But people are motivated. It's like the same thing when you see a dude, like, I know people who shouldn't be rappers who rap, and then I'm like, yo, you should give up that career. Cut to, they've been doing it for so many years, like, they got on. And I was like, right. You know what? That's because you didn't give up, and people laughed at you, but you were putting in work. The same, like, it's these, when people have a fucking agenda, you can't just take it as like, well, I think it's dumb, and then think it's not a threat. Like what they stand for is absolutely a threat to this country.
Yeah, I have a very bad feeling that this dude's name is going to be a bigger and bigger deal in the coming years. Speaking of which, Nikki Haley is another name.
Darling
that
Nikki.
Seems like they're, you know, she's throwing her hat in the ring to be the next, you know, leader post-Trump, if there is a post-Trump.
Right. Whatever we call
all
this
these,
interim.
All these, like, racist Indians in politics. Nikki Haley, Ajit Pai, Bobby Jindal. There's so many bad. Oh, Dinesh D'Souza. There's so many just bad ones that just make me ashamed.
I mean, it's not just Indians, man. We got them. It's all over. You know, the internalized self-hatred and white supremacy affects everybody.
That black dude in Michigan, the politician who's running, who said if he wins, he would get rid of Black History Month in Michigan. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, it's like, sure. Okay. Like, I don't, like, sir, do you know that you have a very small audience talking like that, knowing how you look? But okay, go off, because that's what these people do to try and, you know, stay in power or find these little, like, very low friction ways to get a lot of people behind you. And for Nikki Haley, I mean, like, a lot of people are like, she just broke with Trump. Okay, her quote that a lot of people are pointing to are these couple ones. Quote, we need to acknowledge he let us down. He went down a path he shouldn't have, and we shouldn't have followed him, and we shouldn't have listened to him, and we can't let that ever happen again. Then to go on, she says, when I tell you I'm angry, it's an understatement. I'm so disappointed in the fact that despite the loyalty and friendship he had with Mike Pence, that he would do that to him. Like, I'm disgusted by it. Now, do I support impeachment? Hell no. But I don't like what I'm seeing. So, you know,
I don't like it, and I don't support any consequences for this behavior.
Yeah. It's a really interesting move. You know, like, you have to keep your eye on her, because she knows where most people are. you know, which is most people don't like Donald Trump. Most people don't like the Confederate flag. And she was there when she was governor of South Carolina. She was like, yeah, okay, I can read the room. I can read the room right there. She said, you know, she's like, I knew Charlottesville was bad back then even. And we're like, oh, wow.
Whoa.
Right this way, Madam President. but, you know, right now we're seeing there are two like kinds of Republicans as Trump leaves office. You have the old school GOP kind of people who want to still be able to go out in public and not get screamed at and have Chipotle thrown on their head and maybe even get a chance to do one of those comedy skits on SNL. You know, like they still want to be involved. They just want to be a part of it. They're like, look, we may disagree, but I'm not going to say racist shit out loud, baby. I'll do that in our conference meetings when we start drafting legislation. And then you have this other straight up mask off ghouls, the Marjorie Taylor Greens, the Boberts, the Kevin McCarthy's, who straight up don't give a fuck. They're the people who are in the ascendancy right now. And that's where I'm like, I don't know who's going to win this. Because the base likes the mask off shit right now.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for. Not a lot of people are looking for the return of Romney.
Who likes the Romney side of things other than like
a small group, I think, of people
centrist.
Who I think it's like one, because a lot of these mask off ghoul people too, like they're gassed up off the support they're getting like organically from the base or whatever.
Right.
Then the McConnells and the other group, they know they also need a ton of money to be able to like keep up with Democrats in races. Like they just, it's part of the equation. So on one hand, I don't know, like it all depends on who realizes money is going to be more important, because if the corporate donor class is like, dude, I can't really get down with this. Like, you know, fucking George Floyd was an alien who had a drug overdose in Minneapolis. Like, I can't have that as like a thing I'm supporting. And if the money moves the other way, then who knows? But then there's also talk of these never Trumper or like, you know, conservatives who are like, we're not Republicans, who are seriously talking about a third party or, you know, starting their own shit. So it's still very early, but I don't know what direction it goes, because I have trouble seeing that someone who's trying to be respectable, quote unquote, like Nikki Haley, ends up being someone that the Republican Party, where it is now, is going to nominate.
Right. I keep hearing her name thrown around. There's like, you're right, it's like the Nikki Haley / Mitt Romney option. It's like they
or like
have
Liz Cheney is the same.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, these options are just really, I don't know. I mean, to me, they're all terrible, but that's what I would think. Last time I was on here, we talked about bubbles and we talked about liberal bubbles. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess that's just what we're going to think. But Nikki Haley is such an obvious liar a la Ted Cruz, where she just like lies a lot. And
she's slicker, though.
She's way slicker. And Ted Cruz is so punchable in a way that she's not.
Right.
He's got that like punchable, like frog toad face.
Yeah, it angers you.
Yeah.
Because at this point, like, I honestly think that the nominee in 2024 is like some bearded dude, burly, who has like
Eamon Bundy, man.
Who has like the protocols of the Elders of Zion, like tatted on his face. And they're like, yeah. And everyone's like, yeah, this is the guy. Hate Man.
As a general
it won't even
rule,
be a name. It'll be a character. It'll be Hate Man.
As a general rule, do you think, like, let's just speak really broadly. Do you think the Republicans do like a swing back to civility or a swing more towards the crazy? Like for 2024, like, do you think it's a Mitt Romney quote unquote civility, or is it like you said, some crazy bearded
look?
Let's be
they
racist
doubled
and
they
call it.
Doubled down on white supremacy in the summer of 2020.
Yeah,
they doubled down on that, and then now I can't. There's no you can't.
But they lost though. But they lost.
They lost everything.
So it's like, do you think they want to?
But look what's happening. They're not checking their members right now, who are saying things that seem like the easiest thing that everyone would be like, yo, don't come with these Sandy Hook false flag. Don't say that shit out loud. Like, all straight up threatened, like, cheering on violence of other people in this chamber. Like, that's
right.
We can't do, but they're not even doing that. So that to me says it's a couple things. They're very short-sighted, and they just go where the eyeballs are, without thinking of what that does in the long term, because like, well, shit, there's energy over here. Let's go over here, without realizing like, oh, how do I come back from fully embracing like this, you know, the true version of the GOP, which is what we had always seen, which is less help for less people.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, they are the insurgent party, the minority party in the country. They're protecting a, you know, they have to break rules and create rules and rewrite laws and do shit like that to stay in power and, you know, cheat. That's how they do things. And so I just feel like when they as a party see that all the energy is on the side of racism, like they're not going to go back to pass is on the side of open racism as opposed to
right.
quiet racism.
Because I mean, even like someone like Mitt Romney, who's like, he doesn't have all that energy. He's just right. like some old right. white uncle guy. And he kind of came and was like, well, hold on, folks. Come on now. This was bad. And he got
right.
torn up.
Yeah.
Just for being like, just for saying, hey, guys, hey, pipe down in here. Like for a second, he got his ass ripped up. So I don't know how. And you see, like, there's all these stories, too, of how other members in Congress are like, they're honestly just terrified of the like inviting the ire of these MAGA people and being yeah. a Republican, because now it's a foregone conclusion. The base expects you to go pedal to the metal, you know, burn this motherfucker down no matter what. And if you don't, you're not the true believer. You don't pass the purity test. And now they got to eat you up.
All right. Let's take one more break and we'll come back and talk about Face Off.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And so there's a face-off something coming.
Yeah.
For a while, it was. I think people thought it was going to be a remake. Now it's being said that it's going to be a sequel.
Direct sequel. They use the words direct sequel.
So does that... Like, that makes sense to me that it would take place in the same universe, because that's a pretty big leap, that up a world where faces can be taken off and switched around. So might as well make it in the same universe, and you can have like a little cameo from John Travolta. But it's still the like recasting is like the fun thing, right?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. See, this is the idea though that I'm thinking. Is it one where it's the same universe, or are we still dealing with Castor Troy's ghost or something? You know what I mean? And Sean Archer? Because at the end of Face Off, right, Castor Troy gets got.
Right.
The harpoon gun or whatever. And then, right. So...
But his face is still intact. That's not like he got blown up.
Right. But is Sean Archer dealing with some, like, I've been cage-faced too long or something?
Right.
Like, are you going to deal with those same... Because I'm not going to lie. I'll come back to see their old stinking asses do it all over again.
But I would, the names that I just saw somebody suggest, Tom Hardy and Robert Pattinson, which I can't imagine two body types that are more dissimilar, but also like, you know, same shit with Nicolas Cage and John Travolta.
But here's the
right?
thing. All these updates, when they've done new movies, the thing they always do is they diversify it. They always try to find a way to come back and do it now with diversity. I think it'd be really interesting if they really do like a black guy and a white guy.
And just go and be like, and hey, we knew it was a bad idea in development, but fuck it.
And they're just like, yes, it's Riz Ahmed and Idris Elba because diversity.
Right, right, right.
And like, and I just want to watch all the Ben Shapiro snowflakes go crazy about it. Ted Cruz will tweet about it. Idris Elba and Riz Ahmed don't even look alike.
Yeah.
Or no, you know what they're going to do is they're going to say it's okay to do blackface because of Face Off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's
how
you.
They do it. Well, it seems like it's not a problem. I mean, this is what we've been saying the whole time. And for the people who are upset at the Face Off film franchise, it's just a tale about switching faces. And I don't know why cancel culture is coming for these people. I thought that John.
My response was like, Idris Elba is black. The face you saw was Idris Elba's face.
I'll say this. Around the time the West Side Connection album came out in 1996, I prayed every night that I could have Mac 10's face. And I kind of went overboard with the bronzer at a Halloween party, and I learned the hard way that that's not a good thing. So, face or not, I want it. I don't know. We'll see. I think the hardest bit is like you're trying to do a John Woo movie.
Right.
Because that's where his whole, you know, John Woo, when he came to like the U.S. making films like Broken Arrow and shit, people were like, oh, shit, right. This guy's fucking, he's got a vibe. So I'm more like, I think the biggest thing is like, can you kind of nail a John Woo type thing? Which would be more, I don't know, that might be interesting. But
who's the director who is like the most John Woo like? Who's got like a very singular action movie like sensibility? Like I was gonna say Guy Ritchie, but he like makes a lot of movies that aren't don't have that singular sensibility.
I feel like that's such a 90s style. I don't know that we have style. It's such a 90s like vibe.
But I guess John Woo gives way to John Wick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
In that sense. Do it Wick style, baby.
Because that's what I feel like John Woo's films like was a kind of action that Americans were not used to. And like, they're like, it was like action with humor. This Chow Yun Fat guy, he's fucking it up with this director, John Woo. And like, movie heads knew because you just heard like, yo, these movies are fucking tight. Yeah, and then America's like, oh, right. We're not the only people who know how to make movie with camera because we're ignorant and insular.
I remember my grandfather in India being like, Bollywood makes more movies in one single month than Hollywood makes in an entire year.
It's facts. Exactly.
Yeah. As long as they bring the excessive number of pigeons back, slow motion pigeons just flying out of nowhere.
Impossibly golden guns. Carceral magnetic technologies we've never heard of.
It is like, in terms of like, because it's a sci-fi movie that takes place in the present, which is like kind of an interesting premise.
I love that.
You don't see that much. Like, it's just like, yeah, well, this is possible, don't worry about it.
It's like you're high when you write the script. You're like, nah, dude, it's fine. It's like right now though. What if it's not right now though?
Right. It's like, I think Black Mirror owes everything to Face Off. Personally,
there we go.
Yes, you heard thank it here, you. Folks. Well, the name I was actually looking for you guys when I was saying who is the inheritor of John Woo's mantle is Ben Shapiro, the new powerhouse in the film world.
Oh yeah.
He went and bought a school shooting movie I think it was Venice, at the Venice Film Festival, bought the distribution rights.
Apparently we talked about the formation of his production company that was like, we take bets on things Hollywood thinks are too controversial.
Right. Had nothing to do with like the development or anything. But then they were like, big premiere night where they like went, they had like a video where they were like all wearing tuxedos backstage and like talking about how the movie, like just pretending like they are a big like part of the film industry. So apparently Ben Shapiro, some of our sister podcasts like Behind the Bastards and Worst Year Ever will occasionally just read chapters from Ben Shapiro's novel and just kind of meditate on. He's like a failed writer. And when I say failed, like, he is one of the worst writers I've ever read.
Would you hire him at Cracked?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, sure. Yeah, he's great.
Actually, I mean, look, you got to start
I mean, the guy
there.
Gets eyeballs, Miles. The guy gets eyeballs. But
I just want him to hear that. Ben Shapiro, he wouldn't even hire you at Cracked. Not that he wouldn't even, but like, you don't have what it takes, guy. You don't have what it takes.
But, like, just the writing is next level bad. And apparently he tried to be a screenwriter. That didn't work out. And so he did the right-wing grift. And he kind of saw his moment, took his shot his shot when Gina Carano got fired from the Mandalorian project. He jumped in and was like, we're developing a project, big announcement, guys, you're gonna be psyched. So we're going to get a Ben Shapiro Star Wars universe, hopefully.
Can I just say, like, okay, so I know for a fact that there was another project in development, which was a show based off her spinoff character, a spinoff show based off her character. After her tweets in November, they scrapped it, or they at least put it on an indefinite hold. Then after this situation this past week, she got fired from Mandalorian. All she had to do was not do the thing she did. She swerved out of her way to be fired. It's like she wanted it. I've never seen an actress literally like try so hard. I mean, she put in her Instagram profile beep bop boop to make fun of pronouns for trans people. Pedro Pascal, her co-star and lead of the show, has a trans sibling that he just came out in support of. So it's like, how dumb are you to be like, beep bop boop, I'm making fun of pronouns, they them theirs. Like, That's right. Just a really dumb thing to do. Why are you going out of your way? Just don't do it. Just think the thing, but don't say the thing.
That's when that culture war autopilot kicks in on these motherfuckers, where they're like, me find a like my spirit and soul somehow? No, like I'm here to always just say the wrong thing. Like that's what, and I like to get y'all fired up. And come on, Ben Shapiro, did you even do some research why Gina Carano got fired from The Mandalorian, sir? I believe you are a man of the Jewish faith. And she was out here posting straight up anti-Semitic trash, but you're still like, come on, Ma, we got you over here. Like,
yeah,
that's how, you know, all these motherfuckers, they're not about shit.
The implication on her post was that the Jews did more damage to the Jews than the Nazis. Yikes. Huh. Yikes. Yeah,
strong take.
Whoa.
It's a strong take, you know? I mean,
yeah.
It's the thing about the attention economy that I've been talking about the past couple weeks, just this dude who basically foresaw everything that's happened in the 80s, just by thinking about the fact that like once social media happened, it would just be the loudest voice in the room would be able to completely dominate everybody's attention. And in so doing would gain power that way. And he basically back in the 80s predicted like a Trump-like figure. And yeah, like she's going to make a ton of noise and get a lot of attention just by saying the wildest shit. And, you know, this is probably a very smart move by the Daily Wire. And I can't wait to see the film that they make.
If you have I don't know how many listeners you have that are, you know, out there decrying, but freedom of speech, I just want to say, like, freedom of speech. She's not going to jail for what she said. Yeah. She has freedom of speech. Freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequences.
Yes, it does.
And so she said what she said, and now other people have the freedom to respond because of what she said. She's not going to jail for what she said. And guess what? I don't think she should go to jail for what she said. But if somebody else now wants to fire her for what she said, a private company, then a private company can fire her for what she said. It's just to say something that anti-Semitic in Hollywood is not only racist and anti-Semitic, it's so stupid.
It's just, like you're saying, it's this like such an aggressive outward act of hostility where you're like, you're trying, right? To like burn up upon reentry into the atmosphere. Like that's the deal here, because you're doing a hell of a job.
And 3 months ago, you already lost something from this company. Like, lost something.
What's wild is, like, where are the woke UFC fighters at who aren't fighting anymore? Because from what I'm seeing, a lot of these people who've been banging each other's skulls in the ring end up on the interesting side of politics when they get out the motherfucker. Because Tito Ortiz is out here on some out in Huntington Beach. You're like, the fucking train has left the station.
Who was that dude that dude Usman punched really hard? There was that picture of the black dude Usman that like knocked out that like Trump supporting dude who was wearing like MAGA shorts.
Oh yeah.
I forget that dude.
Who was it? Yeah, but that was Covington.
I remember posting the image. Yeah, Kobe. I remember posting the image of that dude. I think his name was Kabir Usman or something like that, or
Kamaru.
I don't know. Kamaru, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Who's from Nigeria, like, or was born in Nigeria and came to the U.S. and he was talking all that shit, and it's like, so whoops. Yeah, I don't know. It's
amazing.
Yeah, it's like it's catharsis for a lot of people. But yeah, I mean, this is we'll see what the Daily Wire can do, because everything that sounds like from what is coming out of their production company isn't like, it's just pure provocative nonsense. It's like school shooter stuff. It's gonna be probably, I can't even imagine what they come up with for Gina Carano. Like it's gonna be some like Uwe Boll, like one woman fighting cancel culture in the streets of New York or something.
Right.
What's their take on school shootings? Are they like pro school shooting?
It's not their it's not their take. It's a movie that was released that they saw and like jumped on, basically, because it wasn't getting picked up by other distributors, and they claimed it was because of cancel culture. But it's just it's a girl in a school shooting whose dad is like a hunter who teaches her like survival shit, and then she just goes around and like, you know, diehards a team of school shooters.
So the point is, guns protect people from guns. Right. So like, if we train people that, okay, got it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The problem with school shootings is that all the kids aren't armed, essentially.
Right, so just give a bunch of 14-year-olds guns. Got it.
Yeah. Well, Behzad, it has been a pleasure, as always, having you on the Daily Zeitgeist, man. Where can people find you and follow you?
So the last thing I said on this podcast is give a bunch of 14-year-olds guns.
You're going out on top.
So where can they sign up for those guns?
All right, y'all. Well, y'all can find me at Behzad Dabu. That's BehzadDabu on both Instagram and Twitter. Give me a follow and love to interact with y'all.
Yeah, yeah. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. I'm really been following, I don't know if he's ever been on the pod. He should be a friend of the pod. Dwayne Perkins, the Chicago comedian. Actor and writer. He had a really cool thread last week. I'd like to read really quickly. It's short. He said, Hollywood is an industry hard to navigate because a lot of paths are dictated by trauma and abuse. It's trial by fire. People are trying to figure out what they want to do and who they want to work with by also avoiding the places and people they've already had bad experiences with. But for people of color, so much is so bad that by the time you actually find your people in the spaces that feel like you're right for you, you're so burned out from wading through toxic sludge, you don't have the energy to do it anymore and you just want to quit. So being a POC in Hollywood is like being in a gang where you're constantly getting jumped in even though you've been in the gang for years. I know that's kind of like dark, but it's also kind of funny. No. He is really great at sort of the dark way. So I'm recommending a follow to Dwayne Perkins.
Yeah, yeah. Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray. Also, 420 Day Fiance. Check us out on Twitch because we probably won't be there. Was this Tuesday? Yep. 420 Pacific. Now, tweet that I like. It's really just one because it relates to us. It's from Rava.
Try harder, Rava. Twitter.
At Rava tweets, men with cats who don't post cat, please post your cat. Thank you.
I like that. Yeah, so,
you too.
Yeah, I realize, you know, I don't post a lot of that. I don't have a lot of pets on Maine, so maybe we have to change that.
Yeah, yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A tweet I liked, Andrew Nadal tweeted, if sharks stop swimming, they die, which sounds incredible, but it's also true if you put me in the ocean. And one other one I like. And then at @video_jame tweeted, old guy, can you help me set up a PayPal account? I don't know computers. The same old guy. I bet you don't know how to drive stick shift, you idiot. You fucking idiot. it just made me feel better about not knowing how to drive stick shift. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information we talked about in the episode and a song that Miles recommends. Miles, what song are we adding to the Zeitgeist playlist today?
The playlist is going to be knocking. This one, but you know, look, we just had a 3-day weekend. You don't want to fucking bang your head too hard. You know, you got to ease into it. So what we're going to do is go out on a song by Jacob Ogawa. And this is some of that bedroom pop. This is some of that just like nice and easy. Feels a little sexy or relaxed. It depends on your mood. It's like a Rorschach test, okay? What vibe are you into? And this track is called Velvet Light, because that's what it feels like. Just smooth on you, baby, by Jacob Ogawa.
All right. You can go to our playlist or footnotes to check that song out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to you all then.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.